course of these investigations, we strongly believe one suspect is responsible for all of the incidents.
Austin's interim police chief, Robin Henderson, says that suspect was arrested after he crashed his car following a shootout with officers when they responded to a burglary in Austin. He's been charged with capital murder. Two police officers were injured. In southern Gaza, Israeli ground forces have rolled into the heart of Khan Yunis, where Palestinians are desperate to escape the fighting. Jason Lee with Save the Children in Rafah.
It's absolutely dire. There are thousands and thousands of civilians that are fleeing to Rafah right now, and Rafah cannot accommodate them. There is no space.
Israeli officials have released video of witness accounts saying they've collected hundreds of testimonies of sexual violence they say Hamas committed. A revelation from the president on why he's going for a second term. CBS's Matt Piper.
President Biden said he's not sure he would be running for re-election if former President Trump were not also running. But we cannot let him win, he said at the Boston fundraiser. No cameras or microphones were allowed inside the event, but those traveling with the president were able to report on his comments.
The blockade of more than 400 military promotions has been lifted. Alabama's Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville has ended a nearly year-long protest over Pentagon policy that offers service members time off and travel reimbursement for abortions. CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland.
This action probably encouraged a large number of senior officers, colonels who were thinking about staying in, as well as other general officers, to consider retirement as opposed to staying on active duty, as they perceive this as a further example of efforts in the Congress and the Senate to politicize U.S. military.
There are flood alerts across parts of northern Idaho, Oregon, and Washington State this morning. This man lives in Arlington.
This is the worst I have personally seen since I've had my license, been able to travel around. It just looks like a river.
More than 6 inches of rain have fallen over the past 2 days. For all of the would-be slender people out there, you may be closer to being able to afford one of those popular new weight loss drugs. Eli Lilly says its injectable Zepbound is now available in U.S. pharmacies for $550 a month. That's half the previous, more than $1,000 price tag. S&P futures are up 13. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Dane County judge ruled Tuesday that the 1849 law that was interpreted as an abortion ban does not actually ban consensual abortions. Following the Dobbs decision last year, state officials pointed to that law to criminalize all abortions. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin praised the judge's decision, calling it a step forward to restoring access to abortion across the state. Still, this is likely not the final ruling on the matter, and the case is expected to make its way to the state Supreme Court. Wisconsin and Minnesota are asking for more than $1 million to replace the John A. Blatnick Bridge between Superior and Duluth. The span is critical for connecting the two states. 33,000 vehicles use it every day. But it's 60 years old, and the governors say it's in bad shape. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Badgers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers pulled away at the end and beat the Spartans at Michigan State, the final 70-57. A.J. Storr with 22 points, Stephen Crowell with 18, including this three-pointer to put it away.
Crowell left open again. He can't miss! Stephen Crowell!
NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks went into high gear, dismissed the New York Knicks 146-122. So now the Bucks advance in the NBA's first ever in-season tournament. They're going to face the Pacers in Las Vegas Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock. 146 points. What's that say about this team, Malik Beasley?
That we can be really good. With a playoff mentality game, it shows that we can, like I said yesterday, you never know because it was only one game instead of four games. So I'm proud of us. We start punching hard, and we made them call the first time out in the second half, so that was huge.
That's the Bucks forward, Malik Beasley. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly cloudy and a bit warmer today. We'll get to around 41 this afternoon. The wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, 28. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high near 50. By Friday, partly cloudy and breezy. With a high near 48, we are going to drop back into the 30s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap, UK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Thank you, Don Rue. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Wednesday, December 6th. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media app. Whether you got here by podcast or live video feed on one of many social media pages, we're glad to have you here. I've got a question for you. Is it possible to have too many guests in one morning show? Listen to this roundup. We've got Sherita Booker at 6:20, Melissa Baldoff at 6:30, Melissa Kay at 6:50, Kristen Lyerly at 7:06, Tony Gonzalez at 7:20. We have Denise Gomer-Hutchison at 7:30. We have Todd Alba at 7:50. This segment right here is pretty much the only chance you just get to listen to little old me. So let's bring in Greg Bach now with a different opinion on that. Good morning, Mr. Bach.
Hello, everybody. I'm like the permanent guest. I don't leave. I pay rent.
Basically, it was just there was a lot of breaking news and things happening where we said, let's get some people in here. We have news. There's like news went and happened since we were last together.
Y'all went and broke the news on us. Now we got some new news, and this is good news is new news.
Now we got to tell you all about it. Here's what's on tap this morning. A judge late Tuesday confirmed what had been expected for months, that her interpretation of an 1849 state law is not a ban on abortion. We'll explain her ruling in our first hour here, and we'll talk to Kristen Lyerly in our second hour. Also, Ukraine is about to go into winter with American aid in danger of running out. But Senator Ron Johnson is urging Ukraine to agree to some form of partial surrender. I'm sorry, a negotiated settlement, as if that will end Vladimir Putin's plan to remake the Soviet Union. In that second hour, referendums are ramping up already by prioritizing tax cuts for the wealthy rather than targeted investments. Wisconsin Republicans continue sitting on a multi-billion dollar budget surplus, even as school districts around the state are forced to consider another round of referendum campaigns in 2024. We'll review where taxpayers may be asked to again step up and where the legislature has fallen short. And we'll also get the forecast from meteorologist Jennifer Vujitsky from Weatherology. Along the way, you can call us at 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. You can call that number. You can text it. You can use the Civic Media app to get there. You can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And if you're watching on social media, we are on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube pages galore. Put a comment on one of the Facebook pages and it may show up here. 6 o'clock temperatures, not much different than what we had on Tuesday morning. It is 24 up here on Lake Wissota, 24 in Hayward, 24 in Park Falls. Wausau is at 23, Green Bay 31, La Crosse 26, Wisconsin Rapids 30, Oshkosh is at 30 degrees, Madison 31, and down there in Waukesha with the aforementioned Greg Bach, it is 30 degrees right now. And for those of you watching on social media, you get to watch me fiddle around with the screen because, as you can see, I broke two different things here, Greg, that I've got to fix.
What'd you do, Pat?
I clearly did not reset things after I was experimenting yesterday, so the camera shots are kittywampus. Ooh, kittywampus! Ring the bell. I get that one.
Hold on. I have
every time I say a word like kittywampus.
Oh, what? Oh, there it is.
Okay,
so you know, back in my day, penny candy only cost a halfpenny.
I have to. Every time the bell rings, I have to take another drink of Metamucil. Hang on. So orangey. Anyway, before the cameras went all kittywampus, I also had to restart everything, my internet router and, you know, some other things here. And I see it reset my light, which is now on fluorescent dressing room trying on swimsuits. I'm gonna go turn that light down over here to something that's not quite so
Softer.
Oh, it's so warm. Yeah,
I was looking at the list today, Pat, and I'm gonna go ahead and count me as a guest because I'm kind of getting the first section here, and we still have Jennifer Wachitsky as well, so that's 9 people on your show today.
Yes, I know,
that's a record.
Well, and here's the thing, and this is just a little bit of inside baseball here, but right now I'm supposed to also be working on year-end shows for the holiday season.
Yes, so you are.
Even as I'm trying to put together those segments to review the year, news keeps breaking out, and so then I have to stop and set that aside. So anyway, it makes for some long days here. So you're going to see things like camera shots all over the place while we try to put things back together.
I'm just looking at it now going
I am not sure how I'm going to put, oh, that's the button I checked. Oh, I'm sorry. Here, I'm about to make things look real normal here. There we go.
Oh, don't do that. Move so fast. I was going to ask, is your end of the year content for me going to be like a term paper in college where it's like, I got, it's due tomorrow. It's all due tomorrow.
Oh, it's going to be messy. I can already tell that. I don't want it to be, but you go in, I've got on a piece of paper, I've got it laid out wonderfully, but then you start to try to plug things in and you realize that's not a round peg, that's a square peg.
Then it all goes to hell in a handbasket.
Oh, hell in a handbasket. That bell's on you, pal. Really? I qualify
for a bell today? Oh,
you sure do. Yep.
Oh, hold on. Here we go.
You know, back in my day,
we could ring
a bell the first time.
We didn't have broadband internet. It was dial-up.
It was a white picket fence, and we were happy about it. All right, let's get into unpacking some of the news here at 6:13, and then we get some interesting basketball games from last night to tell you about before we take a pause here. As mentioned, late yesterday, a Dane County judge made final something we've been expecting since July, that what we have been referring to as the 1849 abortion ban is not an abortion ban. And people can say, well, wait, is it or isn't it? And I would simply say, if you were to read the law, and look, legal writing is complicated in the here and now, but there are still things on the books that are written in ways that we don't talk that way, you know, 150 years later, language changes. And this was not a case so much about throwing out the 1849 law, but of two sides going into court and saying, what exactly does this mean? And I remember I did read it off. Oh, it had to be a year ago now. And of course I don't have it in front of me, but you would probably fall asleep if I did. But I remember the first time I read it and I thought, now I'm not sure, but I think this is more about feticide, you know, because the abortion issue was not a big thing in 1849, but I could definitely see, because there were some progressive minded folks who wrote Wisconsin's first constitution and who wrote some of the first laws. And I could absolutely see them writing a law that made sure they were explicit saying if you beat a woman so that, you know, she loses her pregnancy, that's a crime. Because I'm sure if you think back that far, you could say there would be places where they go, oh, no, you know, the man can do whatever he wants. Well, in Wisconsin, they had the good sense to write that into the law. But again, unfortunately, over the years, as language changes, there were people looking at it and saying, this might be an abortion ban. We didn't have to think about it for generations because we had Roe v. Wade. But as soon as those right-wing justices on the state Supreme Court or on the U.S. Supreme Court overturned it a year ago, all 50 states went back to state law about abortion. And in Wisconsin, it wasn't clear. Is it that 1849 law or is it a 1985 law that essentially mirrors the protections in Roe v. Wade? And Dane County Judge Diane Schiffler yesterday said it was the latter. It's the 1985 law. So abortion in Wisconsin is back to where it was during the Roe v. Wade era. Now, this is one Dane County judge. It is almost certainly going to be appealed. And then from an appeals court, it would go to the state Supreme Court, which is what made this past April's election of Justice Janet Protasiewicz so key, as she ran explicitly saying she believes in a woman's right to make her own reproductive health care choices. So while the formal case isn't done yet, every indication is that this is the understanding of the 1849 law. And so abortion is once again fully proper pre-viability and in limited cases post-viability to save the life of the mother. We also learned more yesterday about a bill that we first described and other members of the media first described as a Republican bill that would put election administration back into the hands of the state secretary of state rather than the Wisconsin Elections Commission. It would abolish the commission and say the secretary of state has that power. And recall at the time we said, seems rather curious to bring that up because Sarah Godlewski, a Democrat, is in that office now, but maybe that's their way of saying they're coming hard for the secretary of state's office next time and put all that election power into one person. Oh, nay, nay. You look at the bill closer and it says something like this. Yeah, the secretary of state is going to get the powers for elections, but she or he can't do anything unless the legislature's standing committees say so. And remember, a couple weeks back, we talked about basically Governor Evers is now suing the legislature, saying that some of these standing committees, like the Joint Committee for the Review of Administrative Rules, essentially is acting as a separate branch of government and has far too much power. And that's exactly what this bill would do, is it would say, you know, these Republican-led legislative committees would make all the election rules. That's not going anywhere. Also, Governor Evers was at American Family Field yesterday signing the bills that formally give the green light to financing much-needed renovations, and so we'll talk more about that. And there's a Republican proposal for drivers and professional licenses for migrant workers that we're going to talk about in our next hour with Tony Gonzalez. The Bucks beat the Knicks 146-122 in the in-season tournament. That means they're going to Vegas. They will play the Indiana Pacers in the semifinal, and that's tomorrow at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, since they're doing both the semifinals back-to-back, I would assume. And the Badger men's basketball team beat Michigan State on the road 70-57 for their sixth straight win. That's also three straight in East Lansing for the Badgers, something they haven't done since the early 1960s. Now, the road doesn't get any easier. They are at Arizona, the top-ranked team in the nation, come Saturday. We'll pause here, and when we come back, we will talk about Donald Trump admitting on TV last night how he can't wait to be a dictator. Yeah, he talked about that with Sean Hannity last night. Details coming up wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Wednesday. When you're here, you're up north. Back in a bit.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
93.5 The Tap.
We're playing a little Wings to mark the passing of Denny Lane. Denny Lane passed away in Florida at the age of 79. He was a founding early member of the Moody Blues, but left before some of their biggest success. He then joined up with Paul McCartney as a founding member of Wings and was part of their 10-year run. Lane played lead and rhythm guitars, lead and backing vocals, keyboards, bass, guitar, and woodwind for Wings all that time. Denny Lane was 79 years old. Now let's take a little time to find out what you've been clicking on, reading, viewing through all the Up North News social media feeds, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, so forth. Sharita Booker handles all that for us, and we're going to start on a bit of a seasonal note. Sharita, good to talk to you again. It's been a while now, but hopefully you had a good Thanksgiving weekend.
I did. How was yours?
That was wonderful. It was relaxing. Where are you on the holiday shopping, getting presents, like halfway there, haven't started, all done?
I'm halfway there. I got some stuff on Cyber Monday and on Black Friday, so I'm making my way through the list.
Did you get good deals both days?
I did, actually.
Okay. I had expressed some hesitancy, like, are there really good deals anymore? But I'm glad to see that there are. So good on you. We get into the holidays. People are looking at things like, you know, light displays from the neighbors or in the, you know, maybe the local park like Irvine Park here in Chippewa Falls. Or you can see it on a train. And that was one of the posts that's been getting a lot of traffic here. Tell us about it.
The Canadian Pacific Holiday Train is making its way across the U.S. during the holiday season. So at each stop, the Canadian Pacific makes a donation to a local food pantry and also encourages attendees to donate. There's also live music performances. And since 1999, that train has raised more than $22.5 million and more than 5 million pounds of food for community banks across North America.
There were stops in Sturtevant and Caledonia, Antosa, Oconomowoc, Watertown, Columbus, Portage, the Dells, Mauston, Toma, Sparta, La Crosse, all the way. And as people were looking at these posts leading up to it, definitely tagging their friends and wanting to see something that I'm sure was just gorgeous.
Yeah, that post had over 400 shares.
Yeah, and based on the comments that were on it ahead of time, clearly people were tagging their friends. They were looking for something to see, something that was different. And I'm sure there was all kinds of good, you know, videos. And no doubt we'll maybe post some of the best ones if people throw those our way as well. So hopefully people had a really good time on that. Now, looking ahead to next on our list of things that were well read, Cream Puffs. And Greg and I got into this probably week before last, or whenever the post first went up, that, you know, we associate Cream Puffs with the Wisconsin State Fair, but Cream Puffs are something you can get year round, and some places are rather popular for it, right?
Yeah, and you don't have to wait till State Fair to get them. So Pine Cone Travel Plaza in Johnson's Creek actually has them, and they're open 24 hours, 365 days a year, and they're actually some of Wisconsin's best cream puffs. They also make all their food from scratch, like pizza, pie, donuts, cookies, and of course, cream puffs. That post had more than 300 likes, and Sandra Gill said, gosh, we have eaten at the Pine Cone many times, but have never had their cream puffs. How did I not know this?
Well, I think a lot of people, they think of Johnson Creek just as either for the outlet mall or just, you know, something else to make a quick pit stop, not realizing there might be something delicious there for them.
Absolutely. And I actually been to Johnson Creek myself several times and I never knew about this gem.
And by the way, if you go back and look at the post, Sharita has included in it the Wisconsin State Fair's original recipe for cream puffs. If you'd like to try your own, any interest in whipping that up in your kitchen?
No, I don't really eat sweets.
No, they're not for everybody. If you get them, you know, you're not going to have them that often that, you know, maybe you'd want to make them, but hey, somebody might want to. So there it is. There's your way to go about getting them. And we've got to conclude on another fill in the blank one, because they're just kind of irresistible. And I don't remember who came up with this one, if it was Kia Vakil or if it was somebody else, but it goes like this: hidden fees, like those that pop up when you buy concert tickets or pay for a flight, are blank. And, you know, we can't say all the responses on the radio, but there were some colorful ones out there.
Yeah, we have sneaky, deceptive, BS, ripoff, robbery, out of control. And I agree with all of those. And a lot of them said all of the above as well.
Yeah, as well they should, because again, for me, it's especially the airline ones, because you start by trying to measure, maybe somebody, one airline is like, you know, $270 and the other one's $250. So you're like, okay, I'm going to pick the $250. But by the time you get all the service fees and the baggage and everything else, I mean, honestly, what was the point of comparing the original prices, right?
Exactly. And you have to do that with a lot of things now these days, especially even like ordering DoorDash or Uber Eats. I feel like those prices, you can have a $10 meal and at the end you're paying $40 for a $10 meal. So it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. And this time of year, and obviously you're way too young to worry about this, but you know, we're in the open enrollment period for Medicare. People are looking at Medicare Advantage plans. And again, you've got to weigh all the different costs and will you use this much or will you use that much? So yeah, it's the full range of things where the fees have just gotten out of hand. But you know, thankfully, somebody like you, Sharita, you're looking for a good deal. You found your deals for presents. You know how to crunch the numbers. So I might turn to you to help me find some of the bargains between now and Christmas time.
I got you covered.
I appreciate that. Sharita Booker, social media manager. Look for the things that she posts on all the Up North News pages and find links to those at upnorthnewswi.com. Thanks for the visit, Sharita. Appreciate it.
Having me, Pat. See you later.
All right, 6:27 right now, and let's take a look at some national headlines to unpack on this Wednesday morning. Donald Trump got asked twice by Sean Hannity last night if he would abuse power in office. Once again, Sean Hannity is trying to spoon feed talking points to the former president of the United States, and he is instead finding ways to give answers that make people even more concerned. Hannity asked him a couple of different times, under no circumstances, you are promising America tonight you would never abuse power as retribution against anybody. And two different times, his answer was, well, except on day one. He basically joked about being a dictator on day one, going after his enemies and closing the border and drilling for oil. Interesting that drilling for oil is one of his day one priorities. But Trump could not say the words that he would not abuse power, just as he could not say back in 2020, I'll abide by the election. Remember, he was saying that long before election day. He was telling us what he was going to do. He's telling us now what he's going to do. Senator Ron Johnson is saying that Ukraine basically needs to surrender some land. Now, he said it was a negotiated settlement. He's looking for some kind of an endpoint, as if that's going to placate Vladimir Putin. But unfortunately, Johnson and new House Speaker Mike Johnson and others continue trying to tie conditions at the southern border to Ukrainian aid. And even though President Biden and Democrats are willing to find a way to do that, the conditions that are being set by Republicans are going to make it set that we may come to the end of the year with Ukraine running out of American aid and still nothing done at the border as well. Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville lifted his blockade of hundreds of military nominations yesterday. He got nothing for it. And new House Speaker Mike Johnson is promising to blur video from January 6th because now they're just straight up protecting the people who broke into the U.S. Capitol. Our climate check with Melissa Baldoff is up next. You're up north.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. A suspect is in custody in a series of shootings in Texas that killed six people. Police say he's been charged with capital murder. CBS Austin's Abigail Velez.
As of now, we don't know the correlation between the victims and the suspect. More charges are pending for the suspect.
Israeli troops have entered the heart of the southern Gaza city of Khan Yunis. Jason Lee with Save the Children says the number of civilians fleeing has created a humanitarian crisis in nearby Rafah.
There is no space. There is no infrastructure available. There's not enough toilets. There's not enough food. There's not enough water.
President Biden told supporters at a fundraiser near Boston he may have been content serving a single term if Donald Trump wasn't in the race. He followed up when a White House reporter asked,
"Would you be running for president if Trump wasn't running?"
I expect so, but look, he is running, and I have to run.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Tony Evers signed the bill to spend $500 million of public money to pay for upkeep at American Family Field on Tuesday. The bill eventually saw bipartisan support in the legislature after months of negotiations. Now negotiations can begin between the Brewers and the state-created ballpark district that owns the stadium to keep the team in Milwaukee through 2050. The Wisconsin State Senate's top Republican tells the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network he disagrees with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss over withholding University of Wisconsin pay raises over diversity programming.
Why do you support holding back those pay raises for UW employees?
I don't support holding them back.
You think that money should go out the door?
Yeah, I do.
Republican Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu says withholding raises hurts a lot of people who have nothing to do with diversity programs. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Mostly cloudy and a bit warmer today. We'll get to around 41 this afternoon. The wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, 28. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high near 50. By Friday, partly cloudy and breezy with a high near 48. We are going to drop back into the 30s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown
and all of Wisconsin.
93.5 The Tap. UK. UK. UK.
It's electric!
Here's Melissa Baldoff now with our climate check on this Wednesday. Melissa, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, we're continuing to talk about this global climate conference that's happening over in Dubai, and there's some headlines coming out of it, but it's not clear whether this is good news, whether it's a smokescreen, you know, how incremental should we be? How incremental can we tolerate, you know, work on climate? On the other hand, can we afford to do everything that needs to be done all at once? So we're going to try to break down recent events, and then we'll bring it back to the Wisconsin level here. But the main headline is that at this climate conference called COP28, which again stands for what, the Committee of Parties or something like that, who are part of a climate treaty. So you have, in this case, some 50 oil companies representing half of global production, pledging to reach near zero methane emissions and end routine flaring by the year 2030. On its face, that sounds good, yes?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely good. It's, you know, something that they've had the ability to do for a long time and haven't chosen to do previously. So yes, it is something that will make a difference. It will have an impact. It is a positive. So that is definitely something that we should be happy about, because methane emissions are a pretty significant contributor to global warming. That is going to help. But by far, the largest contributing factor is pollution from and emissions from fossil fuels. So, you know, the fact that you've got these fossil fuel companies who, you know, are having these record profits, like we've talked about, they're offering up, you know, this other solution, right? It's like, well, we don't want to limit what we're making money on right now, but we'll do this other thing that we could have done before. So, you know, yes, it is a good thing. Yes, it is something that is, you know, should be celebrated to some extent. But I think it's very telling that, you know, they're, you know, volunteering to do this thing. It's kind of like when, you know, just we recently had hosted a number of folks over at our house, and, you know, like the teenagers offer to do the easiest jobs around the house sometimes, right? It's like, yes, I am so glad that you straightened up the books on the end tables, but we still got to vacuum, we got to mop, we got to make sure the bathrooms are clean, right? So it's like, yes, that is great and that helps, but we kind of got to focus on some of the bigger picture items here. And I think that's, you know, what we're going to continue to, you know, hear a lot of conversation about is, you know, how do we, and I mean, kind of we collectively as, you know, society, right? How do we get to the point where we can hold these corporations accountable and not have them, you know, not relying on them self-reporting, making it to where if they are polluting and they are making these irresponsible decisions, they've got to feel some pain for it. And right now they haven't. You know, they're not losing any money. You know, they know they're kind of the bad guys on this, but they haven't really paid a price for it. So to me, that's really where the conversation, you know, has to head, is where is the political will everywhere to hold these corporations accountable to do the work that's actually going to make the biggest difference?
It's a great explanation, but also I feel like we get some real insight into the Baldoff household about the teenagers. And by we are talking teenagers. I didn't hear Joe's name dropped in there at all. Just to be clear, he's doing his fair share.
Yes, he does.
Okay.
Yes, he does.
This move on reducing methane emissions, it says if the companies, all these oil companies, carry out their pledges, it could trim 1/10 of a degree Celsius from future warming. And it, again, it's a case where, look, every little bit helps, but we should always be wary when an industry says, we'll voluntarily do this. It's like any other, negotiating tactic. You're always going to start with basically the definition of the least you can do.
Right. Yeah. I think that's exactly what it is. I think it is it's a stall tactic to some extent. It is, well, we'll do this thing and, try to get the credit here. And yes, it is something. And yes, it is progress, but it gives them more time to continue what they're already doing. And I think kind of get some cover as they, hope that they're not going to be held accountable for the damage that they're doing to our climate and to the health of people all over the world.
So separately, the organizers of the conference say that more than 100 countries have signed on to a pledge to triple the world's installed renewable energy capacity by 2030, something that was pledged in September by leaders of the Group of 20. There's another headline that says more than 20 countries have pledged to triple the global nuclear installed capacity by 2050. Every one of these things is, again, reliant upon not just living up to what you pledge, but then also, we're still having the debate about whether nuclear energy is a net positive overall. Of course, it's good for the climate in terms of emissions, but there's still a whole lot of people not quite ready to, put another nuclear power plant in Wisconsin, for example.
I think that's exactly right. And again, I think a lot of this really is like the devil in the details of you. It's great that there are countries that are making these pledges and making these commitments. And again, how are they being held accountable? How are we going to know what success is? And, when we're relying on, industry, governments for self-reporting, self-reported data is always troublesome. There has to be some consequences for failing to meet the commitments that people have made. And there has to be consequences for the polluters. So, to me, that's, what really stands out here is just the accountability and the consequences. That's what we need. It's good to see progress. And, I know that's something we always struggle with when we have this segment, is how do you balance the, grim forecast and projections with, but people are doing things and people care, and that is wonderful. And, you don't want to gloss over the fact that we are making some progress, So yes, it is a good thing that, the fossil fuel companies are talking about reducing methane emissions. Yes, it is a great thing that here at home, the EPA has issued a rule aimed at reducing methane emissions, generated by fossil fuel companies. So, that is all good stuff, and it is important, but it's not enough.
Right. And the reason that this week's segment, is a little tougher is because in past segments, we've been talking all about the carrots, and there are a lot of carrots out there. We've talked about all the different ways that Governor Evers has been working on building a clean energy workforce and infrastructure, the jobs that will be created, the tax credits, the savings that come on down the line. But, we do need to be, I think, reminded now and then that the more difficult conversation is on the stick. It's on those places that are still, putting out a lot of emissions, and are they doing all they can, and how should that be enforced? Which is really tough when you're talking about, things that go beyond borders. I mean, just to come to Wisconsin, how often has Southeastern air quality been impacted over the years by pollution coming up from Illinois that regulators in Wisconsin can't do anything about? So, this is not to say nothing can be done, throw up your hands, but just to illustrate that people are working on it. But these are not easy subjects.
No, they're not. And that is, though, you know, I've seen some of the discourse around the, you know, COP28 conversations happening, and people are saying, well, it's just these little, you know, incremental changes. But I think that kind of gets to why these conversations are important and why they continue to happen every year, and why it's a good thing that even though it's not as big and bold as many of us would want to see, the fact that the conversations are ongoing with so many leaders from around the world is encouraging. It does say that people are taking this seriously, that they want to get things done. You know, change is difficult. It is very rarely as quick as we would like to see it happen. But the fact that you have these leaders committed to the conversations with one another every year is really important. So, you know, I don't want to, you know, minimize what's coming out of the conversations this year, or any year, because the fact that they're even happening and that there is that cooperation is really important.
And it's going to be necessary when you got people like the, you know, the COP28 president who had said that there was no science behind the demand for phasing out fossil fuels. And I think later he tried to say that he was being misinterpreted or something like that. It's an ongoing challenge, shall we say, and God bless those that are willing to stay in the fight.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that is, you know, the, as we've talked about before, the conversation around the science is an easy thing for people to point to when they just don't want to accept reality, right? They try to question the science, and we see that in Wisconsin, you know, from Senator Ron Johnson all the way down through the legislature in Wisconsin,
yep,
right?
Yep.
It's basically anything you don't like or understand, you could just say, well, I don't know about that. You know, I'm not sure if that's true. Yeah. And we see that over and over again. So I think that's going to always be a tactic to undermine things that that they don't like, right? If you don't want to see a change, you can question why it's even necessary. So I think that's why it's so important that we have this segment each week to be talking about it, that folks in the media continue to talk about climate issues, keep those front of mind for people in Wisconsin, for people all over the country and around the world. It shouldn't be that the voices they are hearing are those, you know, science deniers, climate deniers. And I know it's always when somebody makes this, you know, these wild statements, it's always going to get news, but that shouldn't drive the conversation. The conversation should be around the science, hearing from experts and talking about the dire consequences of if nothing happens or not enough happens. So I do think it's important to keep the conversations going and to make sure that people continue to hear about all these issues.
That's exactly it. And that people anywhere, wherever you're living, wherever you're hearing this, can talk to pretty much any elected official and pretty much anybody who's in the business community and find out where they stand. Are they, you know, an obstructionist on these topics, or are they looking to lead in their own way? You can be a leader on addressing the problem at the local level, much less the state or the federal levels. And the same can be said with companies. And if all of these conversations with Melissa Baldoff help any of us talk to our local electeds and civic and business leaders, then it is time well spent. Melissa, thank you so much. Appreciate it as always. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
I wanted to wait till we were done with Melissa there to bring up, because I know if we start talking methane, somebody's going to say, well, what about cow farts? Look, methane comes from, I made Greg laugh, methane comes from all sorts of sources, present company included. But hey,
it's true. Again,
it's the scope of the problem. The flaring that happens at power plants is immensely more than some of the other issues are out there, but every one of them needs to be addressed. And that includes farm waste management, farm feed storage, coal mining practices, landfill gas, wastewater. Every one of these things plays a role. But the fact that there was a big agreement by the oil and gas companies, again, not going to solve everything, but one step at a time wherever we can. We'll have today's history lesson coming up next. You're up north. Hey, better-
93.5 The Tap.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Time for us to class up this place.
I can't tell you how much I love this song.
Dave Brubeck was born on this day in 1920. ...103 years ago. He passed away in 2012, one day before his 92nd birthday. It's, of course, his signature song, Take Five. I'm trying to picture Greg as like a beatnik, you know, just kind of snapping his fingers.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to ruin this moment for Greg by telling jokes all over it. Today is the birthday, the 68th birthday of one of my favorite comedians, Stephen Wright.
So amazing.
Here are a few of my favorites. I once put instant coffee in a microwave and went back in time. Everywhere is within walking distance, if you have time. Right now, I'm having amnesia and deja vu at the same time. I think I've forgotten this before. He says, I think it's wrong that only one company can make the game Monopoly. And finally, sponges grow in the ocean. I wonder how much deeper they'd be if that didn't happen. I love that man so much.
Me
that,
too.
That's so much weird stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Such a great delivery.
My favorite one of his is he just takes a long pause and goes, he looks down at his shirt and goes, I lost a buttonhole.
Those of us of an age to remember, you know, Johnny Carson hosting the Tonight Show, there was always such a difference in comedians and the ones that would make him just fall down laughing. And
oh, Stephen Wright
was one of those. It was just so different when he came on board. Let's see. Also born on this day, but no longer with us, Randy Rhoads, who was guitarist with Ozzy Osbourne, who helped write this little hit.
Absolute guitar legend.
Randy Rhoads passed away in 1982 in a plane crash. Not before making some music history there with Ozzy. On this day in 1790, Congress moved from New York City to Philadelphia, where it sat for 10 years. Until the District of Columbia was ready to serve as the nation's capital. On this day in 1999, the Recording Industry Association of America sued Napster. It did not go well for Napster after that. Two songs from the charts on this day in 1969. Let's start by playing the number 4 song on this day in 1969 because it was Led Zeppelin with their first hit on the singles chart, reaching number 4. With this. More guitars.
He had so many guitars, sometimes he played a guitar with two guitars.
And you're saying, but Pat, if Led Zeppelin only got to number 4 with this, what was the number 1 song on this day in 1969?
Oh, it rocked way harder than this.
I would tell you it's by a group called Steam.
Thank you.
Not the same. Not the same.
No.
But what would we say at the end of sports events now if we didn't have this tune, right?
Fair point. That's a fair point. That's a fair point. Yep.
On this date in 1977, Jackson Browne released Running on Empty.
So many songs. So many songs.
I know. There we go. Now here was the difference with Running on Empty. This was Jackson Browne's live album compiled from various stops on his summer tour. Live albums up until that point typically relied on songs that had already been released. Makes sense. This one features all new songs that were performed live, and it was the first major rock album to do so. In other words, you're taking a bit of a gamble.
Yeah.
You're saying, okay, we're just going to put out, you know, all this new stuff, but in front of a crowd. But as you hear on there, I mean, the crowd clearly was liking Jackson Browne. You know, he was a mainstay back in the late 1970s.
That was the original conceit for Let It Be. They were going to release a whole new record in front of an audience. And that just went...
It worked all right for Jackson Browne.
Oh, yeah.
One more birthday to tell you about. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Happy birthday, Giannis.
29 years old today. 29, and he's going to Vegas for a little tournament. The parallels I'm trying to draw to dodgeball right now. He's going to Vegas for the tournament. He's got to win the big game.
You know? If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a dodgeball.
I saw that the other day, too. I will always stop whatever I'm doing. If I'm channel surfing and dodgeball comes on, I will just for Gary Cole and Jason Bateman as the announcers, if for nothing else.
No one makes me bleed my own blood.
On this day in 1993, this was rather interesting. Travis Tritt was making a remake of the Eagles' Take It Easy, and it was for a tribute album to the Eagles, because by that point the Eagles had been disbanded for like 13 years. Everybody assumed they're done. Let's make a tribute album. Travis Tritt made it. Somehow got most of the gang to come back to the studio and sing background. Let's give a little listen. Well, I'm running down the road trying to loosen. So you hear them in the background, of course. It's that classic Eagles sound. That would have been enough of a coup right there. But as they reunited for this Travis Tritt video shoot, they said, you know what, let's bury the hatchet and let's form. And they decided right then and there, while working on this song with Travis Tritt, to get the band back together, quite literally. And that's what they did next year with the Eagles' Hell Freezes Over. And it all started here with this tribute album that, I don't know if you recall it when it was fairly new, but I mean, it was kind of like the way of saying, yep, they're like the Beatles. It's never happening again.
Yeah.
And then it did.
Yeah. And this album, this tribute album, was my introduction to the idea of the Eagles being a country band, because all my experience was all the rocking songs. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God, this is a country band. And I loved it.
They did. They were not the first ones to do the genre called country rock.
No, not at all.
But they definitely made the most of it.
Heck yeah.
I mean, really where they made their bones, you know, in the early years. So then they really decided to embrace their inner rock star.
Yeah.
And what was their, from Hell Freezes Over, their first one was a rocker called Get Over It.
Yep.
That was the first new Eagles song in like 14 years. I loved that song so much.
It's so Henley.
It really was. And it did. It just made me, Don Henley is still one of my favorite songwriters of all time. And I would just love to hear more about his writing process. We still have a lot to cover in our next hour. We're talking about a new Republican proposal embracing professional licenses for migrant workers in Wisconsin, and the 1849 abortion ban, quote unquote, is no more. Dr. Kristen Lyerly's coming up about that, and more school referendums on the way in Wisconsin. This is Up North News Radio for a Wednesday.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.